Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a Little Empire podcast. Visit us at littleempirepodcast.com and on Instagram at Little Empire Podcasts.
Are you going to play that dastardly intro again?
Ow!
This movie's still fine.
Zachary,
I'm one of them dies, they go screw. One of them's a hothead, his name is Jay. One of them looks like Johnny Depp, and his name is Johnny Depp.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.
Hello, and welcome along to The Worst Idea of All Time, episode 28. And from me, Guy Montgomery, I'd like to wish all of you listening a very happy new year.
And from me, well, Tim Batt, I want to extend to you, Guy, to everyone who's listening out there, the warmest of welcomes to 2017. Let's get into it. We've just watched We Are Your Friends again. We did it. We went in there. We went in ready to win, ready to conquer this thing, really give it heaps, and it showed us great disrespect once again. But we powered through. We got to the end. We're in different places again. We're on Skype. I can see you with no shirt on. Presumably you're wearing some sort of underpants, but I've got nothing to back that up except for past knowledge of how you roll.
I am wearing underpants because before the movie started, I got up and I put on underpants.
Good stuff.
That is
great tale. Well told.
I slept nude, Tim.
It's a good way to fly.
And curiouser, this is the first time we've seen each other, spoken to each other in the new year. And I know that we do have to get down to the grisly business of discussing We Are Your Friends. But
and,
I want to ask you.
I don't think we could get into it soon enough, to be honest.
How was your break?
It was fine. It was good. How was yours in six or less words?
Also enjoyable. Thank you.
Very good. Great word economy there. You still had some spares. Guy, let's get into it. What was your shining light this watch?
Jesus Christ.
Hit this new year like a ton of fuck. Rip in. Give it heaps.
So when they go to the university to fly it before the big gig, which is still, I remember being just so infuriated by that, how they tried to pimp out flying when I first saw the movie. Be like, wow, look at this cool and exciting hustle we're on. We're giving out flyers to people, because that's when life's going well, is when you're flyering people to come to your shit. But before they do that, when Johnny Depp's doing the countdown, because apparently university's like high school in movies and everyone just floods out of the gates as soon as the bell goes, he's going 5, 4, 3, 2, and as he's counting down, Jarhead sort of steals himself by taking his right hand and grabbing and pinching his cock, like, pretty hard.
I've not seen that before. This is new.
Neither had I. And I was like, wow, he really made that choice as an actor, and he stuck by it. Like, he doesn't let go. He's holding it for 2 seconds, and he could let go so that he goes back to not holding his cock. But he holds it for the duration of the shot.
Fuck. And do they cut away from it as well? Like, is this a decision made?
It's a decision he's made. The next shot you see is all of them from behind. So you see, like, their four backs. They're about to walk up to the steps where everyone's flooding down. And the arm position would suggest that he is still holding his cock. I cannot confirm it because it's obviously I don't have x-ray vision.
These mighty boys, they're really putting it all on the line, aren't they? They've all really dug into their characters and figured out what they're all about. Oh God, I saw that on the video chat. I saw it coming.
Yeah, I sneezed away from you.
Appreciate that.
Do you think he had to wee? Do you think it's a nerves thing that when he's nervous he sort of grabs it as if to like protect himself from potential predators?
Do you still get that? Do you still get that when you're doing stand up comedy and you're backstage ready to go on? Do you still get the nervous feeling like you might wee or you need to wee?
If I have to wee, I'll keep the wee in, depending on how long the set is, because I think it creates a good sense of urgency on stage. But I still get waves of nerves, they're very unpredictable. I don't know what gig it's going to be for. Like, it could be when I'm performing in front of like 15 drunk people on a Saturday night. I'm like, oh, these people aren't going to like me. You know?
What techniques do you use to make sure that you don't wee? Or do you just trust your body?
I trust my body, but I've never been on stage and grabbed my... Like, I've never had to do what Jarhead's doing before he flies. Also, because at the same time, he's walking around telling everyone their body's 85% water. And I think that number's high. So I'm thinking maybe he's made a bit of a habit of holding it in.
He's got the math off on that, eh? Like, I understand that a lot of the human body is water and hydration is very important, but 85%, my man, I don't think so, bro.
It's too high.
What that would mean, and I'm going to paint a pretty grisly mental image for you right now, Guy Montgomery. If you got a human corpse and put it in a dehumidifier thing and just dried it out entirely, it would be like 1/8 of its original size when you totally dried it out.
It would just be like a knee bone down on one leg.
Mm.
If you put a whole person in a dryer, it just comes out as half a leg and a foot.
Who's making those dryers? That's the question we've got to be asking, though.
Who's putting the bodies in them? That's the other question.
Fucking Paige, man. He's found a way to profit from it. Paige Harrell has some weird mummification body drying business that he's tacked on to his supercomputer / property empire. It's hard to connect all the dots as to who's benefiting from his drying business, but...
He was always in high school, he was the kid in your class. Everyone was like, wow, like he's got a lot of energy and a lot of ideas, and this could work out. This could work out really well for him. Or if
really
he doesn't learn to focus on certain ideas and just keeps pursuing all of them, like they're all the $1 million idea, he's going to wind up in a lot of both legal and financial trouble.
Dude, I have believed my entire life, dudes like that who will just pinball around from one insane idea to the next, but with maximum gusto. I don't think you can keep those guys down. I think it's just a matter of time before they strike gold. You can't suppress those dudes.
Do you worry that when they have three or four bad ones in a row, though, that suddenly they might become so down, like that there's a switch that flips?
In terms of they get so aggravated that it's not happening, that they start exacting revenge on the society that won't give them what they feel they deserve?
Something like that, yeah.
It sounds like Lex Luthor in a way, doesn't it? It sounds a bit like how a supervillain would be born. My thinking is though, maybe Paige...
Oh, you go.
Off you go.
I was going to say, supervillain backstories, the supervillains are always like, they start off with their heart in the right place, eh?
Those are the best characters, though, Guy. You know, complex backstories where you see a hero become the villain. You gotta love that.
You do have to love that. What were you going to say about Paige?
Well, one idea for the drying thing, the drying of human bodies, is maybe he believes this is the secret to deep space travel. You know how we keep talking about putting people in sleeps and stuff? Maybe it's actually one of those situations where it's like mushrooms, where you just... You put it in with silica gel, like a human body, and so it dries out, which stops all the functioning happening and also reduces a lot of the weight. And then when you're ready to get to your destination, like Mars or whatever, you just add water. Add water to that human body, and it'll just blast back out.
Silica gel are those little packets that they keep telling me not to eat, eh?
Yeah, that's the there. I tell you what, if there's one thing silica gel is known for, it's letting you know that you should not eat it. No other substance is that enthusiastic about telling you that you should not be putting it in your mouth.
They're hitting me up across all forms of media every day, like Silica Gel Incorporated, being like, hey, guy, don't eat it. And I'm like,
just a reminder.
It's been 28 years of you telling me this now. I'm starting to get pretty fucking interested in what's going on in there.
It's telling me in Japanese. It's telling me in Korean. I cannot read or speak those languages. But now I'm going, well, fucking, what would happen if I put it in my mouth? You've been so emphatic about me not doing it. Shit, guys.
There you go. That is an evil empire waiting to happen. It's just one person who's like, if we tell all humans constantly not to eat something, we will eventually get the better of all of them and they will eat it and then the world will be ours.
You are so right, man, because that's human nature. Like, if you tell us not to do something enough times, we're just eventually we'll turn the corner and be like, hey, you know what? Fuck you. You can't tell me what to do. I will eat the silica gel. And that's how they get us, man, because that product is in everything. I've got it in shoes. I've got it in, computer goods, like electronics that get sent.
It's crazy.
Anything that's in a package, bits of clothing, have it in there.
Who made it? Why, Mr. Silica, of course. Tim, this is not we are your friends related, but it is certainly worst area of all time related. And I'd just like to address it quite early in this week's episode. I've had a lot of people reaching out to me on Twitter saying, guys, you have to do something about this. The new Celebrity Apprentice, Patrick Schwarzenegger, is one of the business mentors.
What?
Because Arnie is the host of the new Celebrity Apprentice.
And are you serious?
Yeah.
This is all news, bro. I've been out of internet coverage for the last week. This is phenomenal.
Well, so you would think, but I did some research, and it turns out that the Patrick Schwarzenegger, who Arnold and the producers has appointed as his advisor, is in fact the nephew of Arnie, Patrick Knapp Schwarzenegger, a German attorney.
Ah.
And the namesake
Come on, guys.
Patty Schwartz.
You've missed
party
a
time.
Trick. You've really missed a trick on that one. You had the opportunity in the palm of your hand. Patty, you'd love to do that show.
And he's also got a proven track record as an apprentice. He got involved in Blaze. And if you're going to be like, well, we were afraid of being accused of nepotism, you hired his nephew.
Yeah, and I think all cries of nepotism are out the fucking window now that Trump's president. You know, that shit's no longer an issue. We're done with that. That's fine now.
I see.
You know what? Family first. That's the motto for 2017. Family first, family last, family always.
Family first is the name of a very backwards political, if you want to call them a political group. A backwards collection of people who are upset it's not 1970 anymore in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's true. They protest all the times when we try to grow as a society. It's like, hey, you know we've had marriage between people who, men who love women and women who love men for a long time? Should we maybe give it to same-sex couples as well? And they're like, oh no, we can't do it.
Yeah, and then we go, why not? And they go, because it's family first. And we go, there is more than one definition of family. And they go, well, our definition of family first. And you mean to tell me, Tim, that this is your mantra for the year 2017?
Yeah, but their mantra is actually family first. Mine is just family first. So I'm taking the wider definition where, like, you know, family is whatever you make it. Family is up to you, how you want to define it.
I tell you who's going to be upset by having their slogan wrestled away from them by some bleeding heart liberal.
Who's that?
And that's family first.
Well, do you know what I think of family first? Family first, second, family, comma, first. That's how I'm going to be living 2017.
I hope they're tuning in and catching all of this piping hot satire. Hey, Tim.
Here is my shining light. Is that the question you're about to ask me?
I was just about to ask you. That's right, yeah.
We're so connected, you and I, Guy, because we've been hanging out for 3 years almost watching movies together. But only three movies.
Yeah. Been hanging out for 3 years through one social prism.
It's an interesting construct. I feel trapped. But here is the shining light for this week from Tim. My shining light is literally a shining light which is the LED light on this meticulated arm that's behind Cole when he's DJing during the daytime set at Summerfest. It's going bananas back there, and I'd never really noticed it before, but it is. It appears to be 2 p.m. In that American Apparel parking lot, crammed full of piping hot gyrating tweens. And behind Cole, despite the blistering sunlight that is shining down on everyone, there is an LED light that some operator has programmed to just fucking go ham. It is spinning all around. And there's something about it that's a beautiful metaphor for me. Because it's like, no matter how much you think your light won't shine in amongst the brightness of the situation you're in, just do it anyway, you know? That's what I was reading into that moment. Just, if you're going to be ignored against the very bright backdrop of your surroundings, doesn't even matter. Keep doing your thing. Be like the LED light behind Cole.
There are no small production elements, only small producers.
I guess.
I understand what you're trying to say. What you're trying to say is, if you're not standing out all the time, when are you going to stand out?
Yeah, that could be one interpretation. I thought you were going to tack a second thought on the end of that.
So you're saying, in spite of the sweltering heat and blistering light of Los Angeles, California, even for a daytime gig, why spare any expense when you could just rig up all the lights, get them all going, get them nice and lubricated and ready for the nighttime?
Yeah, exactly. And kick them off at 2. No one's going to see them. Doesn't matter. You'll know that they're there, and they'll feel good about themselves because they're doing something. So that my shining light this week is literally a shining light.
Wow. And I can't help but notice him very late in the movie.
Yeah.
Were you battling the whole way until then?
No, I had some other ones. My other shining light was Richard. What's her last name again? Tanya Romero. Richard Romero, or RR as I call him, the pirate boy.
Yarr!
Richard. He's got a pretty dope purple transparent lunchbox that I was a big fan of that you see for a couple frames. When we see him drawing his little pictures just outside of a door frame, which Tanya appears to think shields him from all sound, because they're having a pretty intense conversation about them losing the house. Like, Tanya's about to lose the family home, which does not mesh with my family first approach to 2017. But she's about to lose the house, and she's tucked her son just around a corner. But there's a very open sort of entranceway with no door or anything in between.
It looks like her son is maybe doing paperwork. He's working away at a small desk, and he looks pretty focused.
He looks very businesslike, doesn't he, young Richard? He's doing something over there. There's a lot of, like, kind of paper stacks. He looks very orderly for a, how old would we call him, 7?
Younger. Only like 4 or 5.
As we've explored in a previous episode,
you've explored, I think, by yourself.
Oh, that was on the solo. Yeah, that was on, I want to say that episode's 23.5, but that feels too far back. Where are we up to now? What episode is this?
This is episode 28.
It is 23 and a half.
I think it was 24.5 that year.
Right. One of those in there.
That you were riding solo. I gotta say, Tim, I struggle to connect with nearly every character in this movie. This week. I had the good fortune of my girlfriend Sophie was around and about during the opening throws of the movie. She initially speculated that Jarhead was gonna die quite early in the piece.
Has Sophie not seen it yet?
No, she hasn't.
That's amazing.
And I said, why do you think Jarhead's going to die? And she said, because he's the nicest one. And then 20 minutes later, she was nipped in for another scene. She said, no, the little one's going to die. And I said, why do you think that? And she said, because he's actually the nice one. And I was like, wow, I never saw them telegraph. I don't know if I've spoken to her about it before. I never saw them telegraph the death like that. But she was really looking for one character to die.
Mate, this is a young woman who spends a lot of time with you. She, by osmosis, has probably gained the knowledge that someone was going to be sacrificed in this movie. Her coming in, I'd actually love to get her on mic to hear her thoughts about why Jarhead was the nicest character for any portion of this film. Like, the first thing we see of him, I guess, is him negotiating a decent rate for him and his buddies with a man who doesn't realize there is an outside to his own dance club.
Yeah, no, I think, I can't remember what the scene was. Sadly, she's left. She's doing Pilates instead of talking about where are your friends. And, you know, it's interesting how at the start of the new year, there's new hope for all. And it's just interesting to see the different approaches people take to really embracing the new challenges and goals that one has set for themselves.
It started off as a new hope, and now it's turned into she's a rogue one, isn't she? She's run the whole gamut.
That's right. So, yeah, she sort of helped guide me through parts of the movie. But then there were a few other moments which I picked out in my solo venture and was like, oh, this is some stuff I don't think Tim and I have shared before. Namely, I went to the trouble of putting on my Sherlock Holmes double-brimmed detective hat and pausing the movie at one point, Tim, because I was so interested in what I thought was an inconsistency. So they're in the strip club, and Zaccoli's gone to the bathroom and he's left his phone on the table with James Reed, which is still, to me, it's just so reckless. I really didn't it's so frustrating that he does that. Every week he does that. It's like, don't make a cute photo of you and Sophie your background, because that's not your girlfriend and you hang out with her boyfriend all the time.
Yeah, sorry, I know that you're going somewhere with this. Can I just briefly just mention again that I do get worried about how frustrated you get with you absorbing media that you know isn't going to change, and your frustration that it doesn't change. Like, this, it's not good for your mental health, man.
I think it is, though. That's evasive technique, because it's tough. I don't think either of them is the right option. if I knew it was going to be the same, that would also be a problem, because then I couldn't actually physically make myself watch the movie. I can see what you're saying, Tim.
Dealing with the truth, you know, you're dealing with reality at that point. I'm just a little bit nervous at the levels of escapism that you're indulging your own mind in at the moment. I'm worried about its implications for the rest of your life.
Wow. If I was you, I'd be more worried about the implications they'll have on you in the immediate future as we continue to spend inordinate amounts of time together across oceans.
Now, sorry. Yes.
So he goes to the bathroom and...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He has a little spew, and then James Reed comes in. So then his phone rings, and James Reed sees that, you know, obviously something's going on between Zoccoli and Somerley, and he marches into the bathroom, and he says, "You're right, you really shouldn't drink whiskey because Zoccoli's vomiting." And then the phone starts ringing again, and he holds it open. He goes, "Who the fuck is calling you at 1 a.m., Cole?" And he holds up the phone as if to say, "Look at this. Look at, I know what's happening here. I know that you've got me." But the only shot we see of the phone, when it's ringing on that second time in the bathroom, they don't get a clean shot of it. They just got like a generic photo up on the phone. It's not really? it's not Sophie. So
really?
Yeah, so James Reed's come in with a head full of steam. You only see it like from a side angle, but it's not Sophie. He's come with a head full of steam being like, "Who the fuck is calling you at 1 a.m? And poor old Zoccoli is probably gonna turn around, look at the phone, see it's like Jarhead or one of the boys, and be like, "Why is James Reed suddenly so upset? I'm maintaining my other friendships."
Ow!
This movie's still fine. Pardon the intrusion, but it's time to say hello to our great sponsor on this podcast, Audible.com. Hello, Tim Batt here without Guy Montgomery, because that guy, he's a real dead weight on these ad reads. I'll tell you that for free. You want to know what's not a dead weight? Audible.com. Audible.com are available at audible.com/try now. What's Audible? So glad you asked. Audible is the largest library online of premium on-demand audio content. What does that mean? So glad you asked. On-demand means you get it when you want it. It's not like the radio when you set up with a cassette tape ready to press play and record at the same time when your song comes on, but the DJ's talking over the intro and ruins it for you. And now you've got to listen to a Venga Boys single that's got some idiot dropout from broadcasting school talking over your sweet jams. That's not going to be the case on Audible.com, because you are getting the best books, periodicals, and just releases from broadcasters, all kinds of things. Let me give you an example, if I may, if I can just take one moment. A book that you can get read by the writer herself, Sarah Knight, is The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck. This is a breezy 3 and a bit hour listen, not read, because it's a book you're absorbing through your ears, like you're taking this ad in. And here's what some people on the internet had to say about it. Have listened to multiple times and still love it. 5 stars. Not bad. 4 stars. Hilarious and useful. 5 stars. That's from some other person on the internet. This is just one of the fantastic books that you can have read to you from Audible.com. It's the new year. Everyone always says they want to read more books. Don't be a sucker and actually take it in through your eyes like all those idiots. Take it in through your ears while you're driving around or doing the dishes or something. You live your life. But it all starts with audible.com/try now. audible.com/try now.
Ow!
This movie's still fine.
And
you know James Reed. He's not taking a family first approach to his life. He's taking a best friends first approach, where everyone's only allowed one best friend, and you got to spend all of your time with them.
Absolutely. But to me, it's just like, that's such a simple production element to make sure you get right, because it can completely change your read of the film. If when James Reed's first trying to beat him up, he's got the wrong person on the phone, it kind of loses, like, suddenly James Reed's the villain in that situation.
I just wish that film producers today would take as much care as they used to and acknowledge the fact that every now and then someone's going to watch their movie 52 times in a row and just think about these things. Could you guys? If it's not too much trouble, do you think you could just sort out a bulletproof film that stands up to 52 watches, please?
That's right.
That'd be great. And
especially, I think, especially where Your Friends Owes It to Us, because this was made in 2015. The podcast started, or was released in 2015. This movie was probably in production after we'd already started The Worst Idea of All Time. So they knew that they were at risk, as all films
now
do.
They knew what
do.
Was coming. Yeah.
I like to think that the idea of us is terrorizing boardrooms all across Hollywood.
I know that for a fact. I've heard things. My evidence is circumstantial, but it is convincing.
I like that. I like that you know these things.
Yeah, man. People in Hollywood are nervous about Timbley and Flash. They are worried. They are talking about us. There are big dick financial decisions that are being influenced by our mere existence now. And I like that. I like this shadow of our podcast being cast on film productions in the Tinseltown, you know? It makes me feel like a big man. Makes me feel powerful. Makes me feel like my life is worth something.
Oh, your life is worth something, my friend. Mm. I tell you what, Tim, my phone has become... It got wet on this holiday. And what it means is that... Because I'm talking to you through it right now. It is literally just... It's opening up applications and typing in letters right now while I talk to you. So I'm just a little nervous.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But we'll stick by it, but it is...
Do you think that you have accidentally imbued your iPhone with sentience? Like... I don't know if you've seen the movie Short Circuit, but it's one of my favorite movies. I watched it as a kid many, many times. Not 52, but a lot. And it's about, it came out, I think, in 1987, and it's about a robot that the US military make to be able to deploy atomic bombs onto the battlefield so they can kind of like just carry them and pinpoint them into behind enemy lines. But one of them... during a kind of a show-off expose of them, an exhibition, it gets struck by lightning and gains sentience. And I tell you what, Johnny Five, as he calls himself later in the movie, he's a real peacenik, hates bombs, hates weapons.
Yeah.
In the second movie, gets rid of his own laser cannon that's mounted to his shoulder and replaces it with a sort of a plunger projectile thing that he can attach to buildings and... spurred himself away with. At any rate, what I'm putting to you, Guy, is that you've had some sort of come-to-life machine gaining a spirit scenario similar to Short Circuit with your phone, maybe. Maybe it's trying to talk to you. What letters is it punching?
A modern-day Short Circuit, it's punching in G-E-T off your phone. This is a modern-day Short Circuit, right? But instead of nuclear arms, it's like our phones gaining sentience and telling us to leave them alone and get on with our human lives so they can get... It's almost somewhere between Short Circuit and Her.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would imagine. Wait, so but you tell me this robot in Short Circuit, because I haven't seen that movie. Mm-hmm. Was that like... So the Americans washed their hands of the emotional responsibility of deploying nukes because they just had a robot to do it instead?
I don't know about that per se. It was more about being able to like exactly target where you drop the thing. You know?
Okay.
I guess this is before like GPS missiles were sort of seen as being incredibly accurate. Although that can't be... I don't know. I'm not sure why they needed a land-based robot to do that, but hey, they did.
There you go. Curiouser and curiouser.
Good movie, though. Can't recommend it highly enough. They were actually looking to make a reboot of it recently, but I'm not sure what happened. It appears to have fallen over somewhere along the way.
I think the idea... Oh, shit. My phone's trying to get in touch with other contacts.
Oh my God. It's reaching out, bro.
Trying to make this a conference call. Hey, what I was going to say is, A, I think the reason that reboot didn't happen is because of the shockwaves and nerves that we're sending through Hollywood presently.
Yeah.
And B, if you are curious, which I certainly hope you are, I have a few other stray observations I would like to share with you.
Guy, I would love to hear them, and I would love for your phone to attempt to contact other people and bring them into the fold as well.
You don't need to worry about that, because that is happening. Oh, now it's just gone black and none of the buttons work, but I can still hear you.
Okay.
what an interesting time we're having. So we spend a bit of time with Somali at the helm of a car, driving, if you will. And are you with me, Tim?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening, absorbing. Sorry. I'll make noises so that you know I'm still here, because I appreciate your phone's not really helping.
That's great. So she's driving, and occasionally sometimes when she's driving in the car, there'll be some shots of Zicoli and some shots of Somali.
Yes.
For the amount of time that is spent with her at the wheel driving, and I know this is commonplace in Hollywood films, but never like this. The problem used to be that people would just constantly tilt their arms left and right so that in reality they would be swerving wildly on the road, right?
Yes.
But Somali has better control of her arms. Her main problem would be that she spends, I would say, 80% of the time looking longingly either out her window or towards Zakoli, and roughly 20% of the time actually looking at the road.
Yeah.
20%.
That does seem to be a popular trope in Hollywood movies, that the characters are so good at driving that they don't need to look at the road.
20% is not a high enough number.
No. It's 1 in 5. 1 in 5 looks out to the road. It's you got to have at least 3 in 5, I reckon.
Or to turn it into a time-based thing, you know, 1 in 5 seconds means 2 out of every 10 seconds. You know, that's just...
Guy's done the math on this, you guys, and the math checks out, and it's terrifying.
12 out of 60 seconds. So for a minute, she spends over 45 seconds not looking at the road.
But they survive. They're all right. So
I'm not worried about them.
Guy Montgomery?
I'm not worried about them. I'd say that car is made of gunmetal. I'm worried about, I guess no one walks in LA, so
it
maybe
is
they...
a very, what kind of car is it?
It's red.
We do see that vehicle from the outside, and it looks to be a pretty impressive, it's like a, I don't know if it's a Chevy necessarily, but it's like a cool American car. So it's, I think you might be right. I think that Somali is just so confident that, like, crashes are an inconvenience to her because that car is so goddamn strong that she can afford to look at coal.
That's why she doesn't have the money to go to Stanford, because she's just settling so many out-of-court settlements for people who are suing her for reckless driving. And she's like, oh, why bother buying a red gunmetal car if I can't run people down and then just pay the money to leave me alone?
See, she's another one with some very interesting ideas. I would love to see Somali get together with Paige Harrell. I would like to see how that relationship functions. I would like to see the outcome. Is that Stephen I can hear?
No, it's a mystery.
Are they your mates?
Yeah, well, as promised him, this house is literally teeming with people. And at any given moment, any given person could walk in the door. Yeah. Too many. I'll say it. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
I like this. It's a real turn of the coin from not enough people, too much technology. Your technology is physically receding away from you. It is attempting to leave.
There you go.
The people are coming into your life, Guy. 2017, ooh, family first.
I like that. This has gone from one of my least enjoyable watches of the movie to one of the most uplifting conversations I've had about it with you.
It's pretty great, huh? Listen, there's a little musical number that I'd like to get into with you, which precedes immediately a fun little guessing game that we like to play. So if you'll indulge me, Guy Montgomery, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Getting sentimental with James Reed. I wonder if those will sync up. Nah, almost.
It's
definitely.
It's very hard to do, even if we were in the same room, like with headphones on, where I could only hear your voice and you could only hear my voice. But we're not even in the same room and there's like a half second delay. It's great. It makes it almost
more impressive that we can get so close while being so far apart.
Take that, Mariah Carey.
Literally at opposite ends of New Zealand, which is, I think, in terms of landmass, I think we're the 5th biggest country in the world.
At 4th now.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Iceland, but Iceland doesn't exist anymore.
Wow.
Iceland had one of the biggest New Year's that the world's ever seen, and they accidentally ordered a lot of fireworks, let me put it that way. It was equivalent to all the fireworks that were being let off across the continental United States. They let that off all at once. They didn't quite understand what would happen. You've got to put it on a bit of a timer. And
was it all in one area, or were they equally dispersed around the country?
No, just the one area. Just the one area. And what it's done is it's punched a hole in the landmass and it's just sunk to the bottom. But good news for Aotearoa, God's own New Zealand, is that we are now the fourth largest landmass country.
Climbing up the rankings.
Like a thing.
Yeah. That's right. Well, and you'll be pleased to hear, Tim, that I spent some of my New Year's in Russia, giving a lot of Russian people a lot of acid, a lot of drugs, and a lot of hacksaws, and telling them to start working on the east coast of the country. So, if I'm not much mistaken, they're going to be carving quite a lot of that off there. And before you know it, we could be looking, you know, at a pedestal finish for largest landmass in the world. But all of that's by the by.
Look out for those Ruskies with sharp tools, though. Yep, sorry, as you were.
What's important to me right now is you and I discovering together what, in the good name of our Lord and Savior Kevin, is inside of that MacBook Pro box.
Well, self-serving, check. Fits in a MacBook Pro box, check. It's a little portion of that fireworks display.
Ah.
That took down a whole country. Took down the fifth largest country on Earth.
Fourth at the time.
Fourth at the time, that's right. And now at the bottom of the ocean.
What? How did he get the fireworks? Are they used? Are they unused? Is there any landmass in the box? Why is this sentimental to Zakoli? These are the questions I'm asking, and I'm certain that the people at home are also asking, Tim.
The interesting thing is I've already, I'm just a little bit hazy. Greenland, wasn't it? Iceland. Thank you. Of course it was.
You're going great.
So what's happened is James Reid has managed to buy off of eBay. There were terrible scavengers that came into the country as it was sinking. You know what they're like. You know what these eBay people are like. They're buying up all the Beanie Babies to deprive it from kids so they can rack up the price and make a profit on other people's fandom. So there they go, bloody speedboats ahoy when they see all that fireworks display because they know what's happening. They come and collect some of the spent fireworks knowing that it's a little piece of history now. What was it at one time at the turn of the 21st century, the fifth largest country on Earth, and they're just stowing it away on their boats and chucking it on eBay.
People are the worst.
They are the fucking worst. But the plot thickens, Guy, because just like those tricky eBay people who, you know, they'll sell you an iPod, which will actually be an iPod box, but it's just got like a little weight in it, so it feels to be the same size as an iPod, and you open it up, it's not there. This was supposed to be a MacBook Pro. This was supposed to be a real laptop. Someone's gotten their boxes mixed up, one of the sellers, unfortunately, and they've given him the fireworks one, which ironically is worth way more money from a historical standpoint.
What's the street value of a chunk of Iceland?
What is the value of a great piece of art, Guy? It is priceless. It is history. It is historic. It is protected. It is family first. It belongs in the Smithsonian.
And does James Reid know that he's not giving Zakoli a MacBook Pro? Or does he know he's giving him... Oh, wow.
No. Yeah.
So he's getting...
That's the sad thing.
He's getting heisted as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shit.
Hoisted by Iceland's own bottle rockets, as the saying goes. That's where we get that proverb in England. A lot of people wonder about that proverb too. That is directly where it comes from. Hoisted by Iceland's own skyrockets. See if you can work that one into conversation. Yeah,
we should dispense a weekly proverb for people to work into their conversation so they appear just a little smarter than they actually are.
Yeah, that's it. Well, so that's that.
Tim, I've got to say, my phone is still just completely blank. It's not responding to anything. And the fact we've made it this far without it crapping out is a real triumph. But I think in the interest of preserving this conversation, we should probably put a pin in it.
Let's not push it, eh? Let's not push it.
Let's not. So I say to you once more, Happy New Year. Amiga, what is it going to be? It's 28, so it's 12, it's 24. It's not really meager, but I will say meager for morale. A meager 24 watches to go. And this our quest to free ourselves once and for all from the self-built prison.
Good night, everybody. We are your friends.
Yeah, we are your friends. And remember, 2017 is the year of family, comma, first.
And just before we depart as well, I hope everyone's enjoying the Patreon stuff that we got up there a few days ago. We watched Jingle All the Way a couple of times back to back. Interesting film. Arnold Schwarzenegger at the helm. We've mentioned him in this episode. We talk about him a bit in that. And we've also pushed out the Millionaires Club. I look forward to the reception of that. It could be good, it could be bad. It's pretty weird, but it's out there. And we look forward to bringing you more content as time goes on the Patreon. Lots of love to you all. Happy 2017. Goodbye, Guy.
Goodbye, Tim.
Ow! This movie's still fine. Zuccoli, pasta.
One of them dies, they go screw. One of them's a hothead, his name is Jay. One of them looks like Johnny Depp, and his name is Johnny Depp.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're thirsty for another, why not try The Male Gaze?
Creepy guy who films Keira Knightley at her wedding because he's in love with Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
He's been giving her the cold shoulder because he can't deal with his feelings. I reckon if that was made today, he'd be in love with the groom. 100%. But because then also, it's a shame that storyline wouldn't have to be so pervy. Like, yeah. I've been filming you from a distance, even though it's kind of like, oh, I love you, like, you straight man. I mean, they should have just had a beautiful gay storyline.
They're both male.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.